Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome back to your auntie's cousin's nephew's favorite episode of the Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the video game segment. We're brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Also, Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games, with membership options for every budget. Plus, their store carries Lego products and some of the most popular arcade 1-Up cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with the postage paid envelope. I stumble over that every single month. Postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Thank you for joining today. I hope you enjoyed yesterday's comics segment and will enjoy tomorrow's movie segment. Mm. Justin, would you kindly derby a demo for me?
Check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby! Welcome to Demo Derby, where I decide what's worth playing based on what the publisher deems worthy of submitting for trial. I want to talk to you about a little game called Immortals Fenyx Rising. No, I'm kidding!
Darren, I'm kidding!
Oh,
but that's awesome.
I got Darren to walk away from the table. Yeah.
Carry on.
No. So, do you like Tetris?
Uh-huh.
Do you like astronauts?
Yeah.
Do you like monkeys?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So do I. That's why Bonkies look so much fun. You play as astronaut monkeys building things Tetris style. At least you would be if the game wasn't absolutely reliant on having two players, something that wasn't mentioned until I started. Also, the difficulty was bananas. No, literally. Under difficulty, it has a picture of bananas.
Okay.
I couldn't even get past the second tutorial stage. So, I deleted it and played Clone Drone in the Danger Zone.
Ooh.
You play as a human whose mind has been transferred into a robot. Your job is to fight other robots for the entertainment of yet even more robots. Oh, and you have a laser sword.
I think I saw that that Twilight Zone. Yeah.
And you get a laser sword. After each level, you get upgrades. It can be additional weapons, better weapons, abilities, extra lives, and so on. However, if you die, you start the entire game over as a new human/robot.
Yeah.
All right, there's some roguelike stuff there.
Yeah, okay.
To help set the battle arena feel, the running dialogue is done by two robot sports commentators, Commentration and Analysis Bot, with such lines as, "The human did not die this time. Perhaps they will die next time." Fun all around, let me tell you. Graphically, it looks like a game from the Atari that was rendered in 3D without any other upgrades. So instead of a rectangle, you get a cube, you know. Oh, and your robot looks like Spot, the Boston Dynamics robot dog, if it were on its hind legs. Look it up. Trust me.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
Overall, it's a fun time waster, but I wouldn't spend money on it. Get the demo, play it for about 20 minutes, and move on.
You know, the monkey one, when he started with, do you like monkeys, do you like spacemen, do you like Tetris? I thought for a second he was going to go, well, this game had none of that. I played Picross 3D or something.
Nope. I found a game with monkeys, astronauts, and Tetris, and it wasn't worth my time.
How could that not be?
It required
two players.
It required two players to get past the second tutorial page.
Wow.
Man.
That's because everything's on a time limit, and I tried.
That's bananas.
Yeah, exactly. Three bananas, to be precise, in a bunch.
How do you like them bananas?
Mm.
Maybe if I'd set the difficulty to apples, maybe it would have...
Mm, yeah.
You can't really compare the two difficulties, though.
That's true. Well, if it was oranges, I can see that.
Maybe.
Jokes.
Jokes. So let's see. So we got Demo Derby. So, Darren,
yeah.
Could you kindly tell me about your internet travails through Reddit?
Well, thank you for asking, Chad. I may know a lot about video games, actually, but I don't get as much time to play them as I used to. So instead, I head to Reddit's Ask Games to pass along my sage advice in a little segment I like to call...
Ask Darren. The Geek Cave Podcast and its associates, including Darren, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Today's question is from CantFindUserName14 on Reddit, which is in fact an actual username. I double-checked. Quote, any horror game recommendations for Xbox One? I want to scare myself silly. Well, there's always Mass Effect Andromeda. Stare in shock and amazement as a franchise loses all of its goodwill right in a single release. Or you could go with WWE 2K20, because once you see Becky Lynch's teeth and eyes coming out of her forehead instead of the holes they're supposed to be coming out of, you'll never sleep again. And there's also carnival games, because the thought of someone wasting $20 on that is truly frightening.
What? Thank you, Darren.
Technically all sound advice.
Yeah.
Informative as always.
That's what I aim for. The bare minimum.
So, well, I guess in terms of things played, Justin, have you played anything this month? I know you got the Gamefly subscription, so I didn't know if you've been playing anything.
Nothing new has come in. I have been digging into Minecraft a lot.
Yeah.
My son kind of got me hooked on that. I've been playing around.
Digging into Minecraft.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. I haven't really done anything else lately. No, all the games that have come in haven't been for me on the Gamefly account. So I am waiting for Horizon Zero Dawn to show up.
All right. And because, Darren, you and I have been playing the sequel to that.
Oh, yes, we have, Chad.
So I got about some paragraphs to read and give my review, and then we can talk about how I'm wrong.
I have some statements.
I believe it. All right. So it's now been about 68 hours that I've spent with Horizon Forbidden West. I tried to get that next hour, but ran out of time.
Nice.
Almost.
Anyway, in that time, I have completed all but two of the story missions. I've finished a bunch of the side quests, a lot of the errands, quite a few upgrades for weapons, armor, carrying capacity, 3 cauldrons, 4 tall necks, 7 relic ruins, 9 drones, all the rebel camps, 2 of the war totems, fun God of War entry into the Forbidden West,
yep,
and 1 of the melee pits.
And
I've completed
in a pear tree.
I have left behind 12 hunts, 20 arena battles, and 4 races, and I still feel like I've played a full game and then some.
Yeah.
There is a balance in storytelling, especially in video games, between urgency and stuff to do. And every time you go to your base, the urgency is palpable. And then you leave the base, and you know what? I got all the time in the world. Of course I'll go looking for flowers.
I gotta find me some scarlet stems.
I tell you, if the great swarm's approaching in 7 days, I shouldn't be spending a weekend fishing for a blue MacGuffin. But the moon isn't going to crash, you know, in 7 days. It's more like 4 months. Yeah, everybody needs a pit sometime.
Yeah.
So, Forbidden West, that's how much you got. 4 months. If there is a day-night cycle, if you let it just go for 4 months, you know what happens? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I figured.
The all-powerful AI is just wrong. The world exists for Aloy and the player. Now, the story is basic. The last month, we talked about Forbidden West when we had like 90 minutes in. The actual words to explain it make no sense unless you're familiar with the world, so just maybe now is a good time to say spoilers for anybody who's paying attention.
Yep.
Aloy must restore the AI Gaia in order to bring some order to the world. To do this, she has to track down Gaia's subordinate functions that help her clean up the air, land, and water. And once this is completed, Aloy will try to capture the fourth function that will give Gaia the ability to create and control the machines. To do this requires another MacGuffin and about 4 hours. Once that's done, there's boss fights and the game is over, I assume. Like I said, I'm not finished with it. Here's the thing. The game is good. The controls are good. The graphics are amazing. And I've enjoyed nearly all of my time in the Forbidden West. And this game's overwhelming. Just absolutely. Everything feels like a necessity, yet doesn't really have an impact on the story with the exception of helping you level up. You forge relationships, but they're going to back you up no matter what because you don't actually have communication choices. There's so much stuff to do. There is as much stuff to do in this game as there is in a typical RPG. And I think that's what somebody had the thought of, is like, let's turn this into a Mass Effect style RPG. You've got your base where all of your allies stay. You've got a giant branching skill tree that you can do. You've got worlds of relationships to create, but no option to actually foster them. And so you can manipulate that skill tree, but it's a really shallow role play. What they've kept is the really long exposition dumps, and that's also kind of less good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you really liked the first game and your opinion was great, give me more of that, but more so, you're going to dig on Forbidden West. Be aware, the difficulty is higher, even on lower difficulties. It's higher. The AI is just smarter. The machines, the humans, and it makes combat more exciting and more frustrating. Honestly, it's a great game. It's a contender for Game of the Year for me. But it's far from infallible. You know, right now we're sitting at a B. Like, if all we're going to do is look at the looks, solid A.
Right.
Plus. If you're looking at controls, for the most part, A.
Yeah.
It's that real long story stuff that just starts to feel, you've got to open up so much world. If you just follow only the path of the main story, you will create a line through the map.
Yeah.
And then you'll die because you're not high enough level, because you got to open up all the map in order to level up, in order to do the thing.
Yeah.
So, how wrong am I?
And now, a response. Let me tell you about this fucking game. No, that's harsh. I have played half as long as Chad has. I've put about 30 hours in, give or take. And my biggest problem with it is that, twofold. One, the side characters are a whole lot more interesting than Aloy is this time around. Zoe, who is a grave singer who sings to dying machines to ease their spirits. You've got a proud warrior who lost an arm in a
Catalo.
Great, yeah, who lost an arm in a battle and starts off as kind of cynical, but sees that Aloy can achieve the impossible, so he wants to help her in any way he can. Returning characters from the first game, Varl and Erend, and they're awesome.
They're there too.
They're there too. They're there. Hey, Tim Drake. They're just kind of there. Whereas once upon a time, they were a pretty big deal. Now they're here. You've got Gaia. You got Silens. You've got all the gang's all here. And then there's Aloy, who has kind of adapted a Link almost persona in that her personality is far outshadowed by the side characters, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it is if Aloy's who I want to know more about, and Aloy's the character I want to follow. That's problem number one. Problem number two is it should have been called Horizon Glitchy West instead of Forbidden West, or maybe Horizon Forbidden Glitches. Because
your mileage may vary.
Yeah, your mileage may vary. Because Chad didn't have any, and we're both playing on PS5s.
Mm-hmm.
Chad didn't have nearly as many problems as I have had. I have had some doozies. We've both had the enemy stuck in a wall thing.
Yep.
A human enemy. I've also had to describe it in the simplest terms. Think of a giant robot bird that is merged with a pterodactyl that shoots lightning. I've had one of those effers stuck in the side of a cliff, and his health would not go to zero. I mean, his health bar was empty, but it would not empty, and I needed it to die so I could advance the mission I was on. So I had to restart. And all the healing items I'd used because of the harder difficulty, oh, those were still gone. But the Stormbirds were back.
Oh, all of them.
All three of them. Yeah. I've died a lot in this game, and I'm not one who typically blames the game when I die. Usually it's like, oh, that's on me. But because of the increased difficulty, even on easier levels, and the fact that it seems that every publisher on Earth wants to do Dark Souls, stop it. Everyone does. It's felt cheaper every time I die. It feels... I 30 hours in, I should be having more fun than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what disappoints me the most, is that you're right. Visually, it's a gorgeous game, and I wanted more of the world. But the RPG elements are kind of shallow, and at the end of the day, it boils down to... I also can't set as many traps as I want, which is key because traps are the only things that are actually freaking efficient in this game. So, yeah. Unfortunately, for me, Horizon Forbidden West is a bit of a disappointment. From a technical perspective, yeah, it deserves really high marks. From an I'm having fun perspective, it's a C right now.
Ooh.
That might change when I get to the end game, because I'm still in the middle of caveman politics.
The Hikaru stuff in Plainsong?
Yeah, the Tenacht. Okay. I've got to, like... No way, I got past the Tenacht, but now I'm moving on to... I got the chief to let me get a piece of...
Okay.
Insert spoiler here. And I'm on past that now.
Okay.
But that dragged for a while. Like, I don't care. I don't care if these three tribes don't want to get together. I should care because I cared in the first game. All I want to do is get to freaking California so I can find what I need to find and save the gosh darn world. But no.
I've been disappointed in one other piece, and this is going to sound weird.
All right.
They make Aloy smile a lot.
Yeah.
And like, Aloy's a serious character.
Yeah, almost cynical.
Like, a no joke. She's not a joke teller. She's not even a joke appreciator. She doesn't like, it seems, having friends or good relationships. She wants to do her thing and move on. And it is really, really obvious then when somebody's just like, oh, we're going to make her smile during this exchange. It's just like, No. You know that deleted scene in Terminator 2? When they have Arnold Schwarzenegger smile as the T-1000 or T-800, it looks like that. This is all wrong.
Do you think that's like your standard stereotypical, you know, like, oh, she doesn't smile enough thing?
I have no idea, but I hate it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. It doesn't seem genuine.
It doesn't. It seems like somebody put it in and then forgot to look and see what it would look like.
Insert smile, but they didn't set the parameters.
It's not reaching the eyes. So that is really the game I have been playing, you know, for the most part. I've not been playing in Minecraft. I've been playing Horizon.
Kirby and the Forgotten World, the demo's out. It's pretty good.
Yeah?
I mean, you get to eat a car, so...
Well, who doesn't want to do that?
Well, it's an open-world post-apocalyptic game, but with Kirby.
Horizon Forbidden Suction?
Forbidden Donut.
Forbidden Donut.
Well, then, if you don't have any other reviews, and I don't have any other reviews.
I do not.
Justin doesn't have any other reviews. I guess it's time for Kent.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected, every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to...
Chad's
Pile of Shame.
Super Paper Mario? Team Fortress 2, Civilization 4. I didn't play any of these. As a matter of fact, in 2007, I'm pretty sure the only game I really played was MotorStorm, and that came out the previous year. But to fulfill the conditions of playing through former games of the year, I played a game from 2007. I'm not one for first-person shooters, and horror in video games has never really been my bag, so it may come as a surprise to you, as it did to me, that BioShock is one of the best games I have ever played.
Nice.
Please hear me correctly. It is not one of my favorite games. It is one of the best.
There is a difference.
I don't know any game that will knock Super Mario Bros. 3 from the original NES off the pedestal of favorite game.
Fair.
But I digress. In BioShock, you start the game with a cutscene. It involves the player character in an airplane that crashes into the ocean. And either you're the only survivor, or conveniently the other survivors have set themselves on fire in order to light your path to the only landmark in the ocean. We swim to a lighthouse, where we find a big old circular bathtub, known as a bathysphere, that takes us to the underwater city of Rapture, the dream child of Andrew Ryan, which is what happens when someone has the philosophical ethics of Ayn Rand with the money of Tony Stark. It is here that we are introduced to what we believe to be a friend, the friendly voice of Atlas, an Irish fellow who only wants our help to reunite him with his wife and daughter from the evil and villainous, that's worse, Andrew Ryan, who has let everything fall to crap after winning a civil war with some criminal overlord named Fontaine. And we explore just a little bit, and we get attacked a little bit, but we are given the single most powerful 1-2 combo that a game has ever given a player. And we're given it in the first 15 minutes. Shock the baddies, and then bludgeon them with a wrench.
It's satisfying.
I played nearly the whole game with this combo. It just works.
It just works.
The thing is, the game plays super well. It's a competent shooter. It's also a super shallow RPG. You can choose the loadout for your character in terms of powers and weapons, but those don't matter so long as you have a wrench and that overly authentic Cole McGrath cosplay with working lightning powers outfit you made in your basement over the winter. There are other aspects of the game as well, such as playing Pipe Mania in order to hack things like turrets, cameras, and vending machines, because the entire thing's built on this weird 1920s deco punk type of world in which gene therapy is a thing, but so is clubbing druggies with a wrench after pretending they're the creature in that famous Mary Shelley novel. The reason to play this game is for its singular focus on tone. Tone is what makes this game. At least until Richard Lester shows up at the end and just ruins the final boss fight. Yo,
oh boy.
Throughout the game, we're given mysteries. Yo, who's Andrew Ryan? Who's Fontaine? What happened to Rapture? And these are slowly revealed in the gameplay. There's not really any exposition dumps. There's no watching a cutscene. Instead, you discover the leaky, oppressive world of Rapture through diaries, through characters. The pacing is really good. The world is constrained enough that even if you want to find everything, there's such limited space that you can go back and forth and still make progress and feel like what you're doing is important to the story and to your understanding. But that boss fight, man, it just, you've been fighting splicers, drug addicts, and you've been fighting big daddies, and then suddenly, what do you fight? You're fighting
Dr. Manhattan, right?
Yeah. I was gonna say the bad guy from Ang Lee's Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Storm Daddy.
Yeah, you're kind of fighting against him, and then even then, the ending of that is, well, I played the BioShock Collection because I had it on PS4.
Yep,
and it's beautiful. Just to make sure, I made sure to play my PS3 copy. It's still beautiful. The re-release plays a little bit smoother. You get closer to that 60 frames per second that we like. And that's the one that I ultimately finished, is the re-release on PS4. But that the boss fight is jokingly anticlimactic, like most wedding nights tend to be. And it ends with the game's cutscene that sees your choices played out in the narration. Your choice, by the way, of either being a complete paragon or not. Like, there's no wiggle room. It's either you save everybody.
Yep.
Or if you kill one wrong person, bad ending. No wiggle room.
I mean, it's pretty easy to get the good ending, though.
It's good. It's easy to get the good ending. All you got to do is not be a jerk.
Yeah. Just don't
to children.
Don't be evil. Yeah.
But if you've never played the game before, it holds up. It is such a good game. For those not digging the horror genre or the first-personness of it, it's still a really good game. It's the kind of game that deserves to be played and experienced rather than just watched on Twitch or YouTube. I give it 5 Big Daddies out of 5. Thanks to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly, and find geeky news, etc. at geekcavepodcast.com. Join the Discord for fun conversations and tell your friends all about where to find us, including Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Good Pod, and so forth. Don't forget to check out our other offerings, including You Want Me to Watch What? And Week 3. Then head over to twitch.tv/geekcavepodcast to see Darren play some Vidya games, or find our YouTube channel to see Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Thanks for listening. And remember that everyone is a geek for something.